Well, I am ready for this. This is the second installment of Light It Up. Light It Up. And we're talking about sharing our faith, sharing our testimony. It's what we're talking about today. Our theme for this year, our theme scripture, it's beautiful. It's above those double doors out there. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And so again, this is our theme scripture for the year. We're talking about being a light to our community. What does that look like? Rather than just a really good idea, how can we be that to our community? And last week we talked about the most effective way to share Christ was really individually. And that you in your daily lives, sharing the incredible news of Jesus by just being who God created you to be. And I think that's a thought a lot of you, I know I've heard a lot back from last week. It kind of took the pressure off for you. And it should. Because, yeah, being who God has created you to be and allowing God's light to shine through you to be that effective witness. And we've also begun a new series or a kind of a way that we're doing Wednesday night services for a season. And we've done this for 2 weeks so far. And I got to say, it's just been fantastic. We are having people bring their testimonies. And they get a little head start, kind of a warning, not a warning, but a few days advance notice to really think about what they feel like God would have them share. We have had 2 weeks of amazing testimonies. We've had good crowds, and I want to encourage all of you, if you can, to come on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock right here, and we have some great worship, and we pray for each other. And I got to say, and we may have this person share soon, but we were praying the other day. This is not a gift that God usually uses me in, but I walked down here, and I mean, I could not go forward with the prayer. It was like, and this, the word and image of a leg was like right in front of me. And the more I tried to get away from it, the more it was like, you better not keep going. I said, all right, to the Lord. I'm just like, all right. So I said, I don't know. I don't know who this is. I don't know what this is. I said, somebody's leg. God's telling me this. I don't know what to say about it, except that. And so just want to pray that God heals that leg. And somebody did come to me later. They were having incredible, terrible pain. They could hardly stand up, and that the Lord took away that pain. And praise the Lord. Yes, praise God. I love how he does things. Now, as we think about sharing our faith, we begin very simply with what is called our testimony. And it's called in the Bible our witness. Okay, we're going to go over this again. We're going to put this on the screen. A witness has personal knowledge and experience of a person, place, thing, or event, and is prepared to give evidence. So Christians are witnesses to Jesus Christ because they know him, they experience his love and forgiveness, and they testify to what he is up to in their lives, in their church, and in the world. And last week I also mentioned that you can only be a witness for Christ if you've received something from him, something very, very important. And just knowing about him is a good thing, but that's not going to save you. That's not going to give you that testimony, that witness. The first thing that you're going to be able to share with somebody is how he forgave you of your sins. That you have received his forgiveness. You have received that from the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. You're saved by belief in Jesus. Belief in the fact that he lived, he died, and he rose again for the forgiveness of your sin. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to read this really quick. verse 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Okay, so it's already done. When Christ died on that cross, the work was done, and he was risen from the dead. The Bible says that Christ died once for all, from Romans 6:10. And your testimony is that you have believed. The Holy Spirit has come to live in you, and you thus recognize what Christ has done for you. It's the forgiveness of your sins. But that journey has now just begun. Okay? Your testimony is going to increase, because you're going to experience all kinds of things. And those of you that have been a Christian a long time know that God takes you through ups and downs through life. And if you don't go through anything, you're not going to have any more to share. So you're going to go through stuff. Jesus said as much as in John 16:33. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have what? Trouble. You will. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So I hate to break it to you, but you're going to have trouble. That's the way it is. That's how we get to know more of the wonderful saving grace of God, is by going through all kinds of things. He is wonderful. And so what the world throws at us pales in comparison to the victory that Christ has won through his death on the cross. And we are forgiven, and he promises to be with us always. And sometimes we don't recognize that God has done so many wonderful things in our lives, and it's easy to forget them.
Glad I caught you. I got a problem.
Why ask me? I don't know nothing. What's the problem?
I got this coworker of mine, and they're starting to ask questions about the Bible and science and quantum physics and Jesus. I used to have the same questions, but my boss hits the roof when anyone talks about faith or church. What should I do?
Still taking lunch at 12:30?
You mean 12?
Sure, 12:30.
Yeah.
Is guy eating lunch?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. He's always leaving at the same time.
So what's to stop you from talking to him over lunch? You learned something that made a difference, right? So how about you tell them what God did for you?
That's crazy enough, it might actually work. Thanks, Shuby.
Hey, Shuby! I'm so glad I caught you. Look, I've got a problem.
Why ask me? I don't know nothing. What's the problem?
Well, there's this gal in my apartment building, and she's got three great kids, and I keep asking her to come to these Bible studies, but she keeps saying no. What should I do?
How did you end up coming to church?
Yeah, there was that sweet Christian lady two floors up. She told me that there would be someone available to watch kids during our Bible study. And I just needed a break. So I said yes.
Your Bible study have child care?
Oh. So you're saying I should just do what Mrs. Murphy did for me?
Why not? Just be showing what God did for you, right?
Oh, thanks, Shumi. You're the best.
Hey, Shumi. Glad I caught you. I've got a problem.
Why ask me? I don't know nothing. What's the problem?
My neighbor just lost his job and he's having trouble finding work again.
Sure. You remember what that feels like, right?
Do I? But I'm not HR. I don't even know what this guy does. I mean, I'm praying for him and everything, but...
You still golfing this Friday?
Golf? Sure.
I hear Andy's on your card this week.
What a wheeler dealer. Guy talks more than he plays. Schmooze along Andy, we call him. Now that I think about it, he introduced me to my current boss on the golf course.
So if you knew someone that needed work, some might call that an opportunity. So how's about you tell your neighbor what God did for you? Maybe on the golf course.
Yeah, I just might. Thanks, Shubi.
You know, Shnooby, I've been watching you. You always seem to know what to say to people. How do you do that?
I just tell them what they already know.
But how do you always know?
Me? I don't know nothing. Well.
All right, well, unlike in the skit, you don't need to give somebody money to to tell what you already know. Yeah. That God has been with you all the way through your life. And your testimony is going to grow more and more as you see God move in your life. And people need to hear the story of what God has done. King David exhorts us all to do this very thing. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." All right, there's a story from the Bible that I want to talk about. And this story has always been to me one of the strangest stories I've ever come across. It's strange, but miraculous. And happens in Mark chapter 5. Jesus is getting out of a boat in an area that Gentiles live, or non-Jews. And he's greeted by a demon-possessed man who is out of his mind. And he lives among the tombs, you know, or if we can think about it as he lives in the cemetery. And so he would cry out and he would cut himself, and the local people were very afraid of him, as you can well imagine. Think about somebody like that in our day who would live in the cemetery, not in his right mind. Not only that, but he's been chained up by local authorities because he is so dangerous. But he's incredibly strong and he breaks out of his chains. Near where Jesus gets out of the boat, there's also what is described as a large herd of pigs. Okay. It's kind of strange so far. We've got a very disturbed man who's very strong. We've got a bunch of pigs. All right. So this crazed man comes running at Jesus. And that's what it says happens. He's running at Jesus. Imagine if that were you. Some crazy guy who's super strong and crazy, he's running right at you. And right before he reaches Jesus, he falls on his knees before Christ. Christ. And Jesus speaks to the demons that live in the disturbed man, and he asks them his name, and he replies, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Kind of spooky. Crazy. Jesus tells the demons they can enter these pigs. Well, that's one thing to say that, but then a crazy thing happens. The pigs run off a cliff and are drowned. Now, that would just scare me like crazy. Now, if you're the owner of these pigs, number one, probably scared you if you saw it, or even if you heard about it. And then when you realize that your pigs are now drowned in the sea because they're supposedly filled with demons, you'd probably be very freaked out and maybe pretty upset. So the townspeople come out after hearing about this, for there were witnesses to this fact. And they saw the demon-possessed man was in his right mind. Now, they knew all about this guy. Think of somebody you know that might be, I don't know, by saying what I'm going to say, I'm in no anything like that of mental disease or things that happen to people that are just very, very tough. But somebody who might be extremely, maybe schizophrenic, they don't make sense. Sometimes they're kind of scary with what they say. Possibly violent in their behavior. I had a very close person in my life who became this, and he could be very frightening to talk to as it went on. He even threatened my life several times. And so think about somebody like that, maybe that you know like that, and suddenly you see them, you go out there and you hear about what has happened, and you see this guy sitting next to Jesus, very calm, seems in his right mind. He looks you in the eye and he says, "How's it going? I'm not crazy anymore." I mean, it's an incredible story. So it must have all been frightening, and the people wondering what kind of maybe a magic spell that Jesus has cast upon this man and these pigs. They probably see these pigs floating out in the water. Then they then ask Jesus to leave, probably out of fear. So the man who was formerly extremely disturbed, and we know from the account that it was because he was demon-possessed, he was given hope in his life by Christ, and he wanted to go with Jesus. Now, that's completely understandable. I totally see that. He has hope in his life. His life has been horrible to this point. I'm going to pick it up with Mark chapter 5. You're going to see where I'm going here. It says, "And he did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled." So Jesus wants us to tell people about him. If this guy would have gone with Jesus, that town would have not even just remained the same. It might have even been worse off, because they would have a wrong idea of who Jesus was. They'd be afraid. And that's like today. A lot of people have misinformation about God. They hear it all the time. And that's what would have happened here. But that's not what happened. He went back. He went back and said what Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So other people know the miracles that God has done in our lives. And in the skit, everybody who comes to the shoeshine guy, they're asking about what they should say to people who need Jesus. But God knows what part of our stories to share with them, and he'll bring them to our mind, and it's not going to cost you anything. The more experiences you have in life, hard times, good times, everything in between, the more that you're going to see God at work on your behalf and through other people. And there will be more and more to share. Now, I'm going to give you some practical advice. So you might want to get your pencil ready or take some notes on just some practical things about sharing our faith. And this is really also about regular social interaction. Okay? So I'm going to try to help you out a little bit here. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Wow. You mean I'm not supposed to just tell everybody what I'm thinking? Or tell everybody my opinion? I'm supposed to care about somebody else? Yes. That's the place to start. That's the scriptural place to start. So, practical advice when sharing what God has done. Now, first one is very basic, but a lot of people don't do this. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Be interested in what others are saying. You don't have to know everything they're talking about. And if you have a habit of talking too much about what you think or what you experience or someone you know, if someone else starts to speak, just stop and listen, okay? Just listen to what they're saying. You don't have to jump in there, okay? That's the first thing. Sincerely listen to what another person says, okay? Authenticity is going to run through all of this. Being sincere, being authentic. Okay? Be a good listener. The second one is ask questions about the other person. Now, you might think, well, I don't know what to ask. Look, it really is pretty easy. And whenever I've shared about this, it's been several years since I have, I always add this. I am an introvert. A lot of people don't think I would be because I'm on the stage all the time. Stage is easy for me. I've been doing it my whole life. That's easy. But a crowd of strangers, I have to get kind of psyched up to do it, you know. But I've learned how to do it because I need to be able to do it, and especially when I felt God calling me to be a pastor. I was like, Lord, what? Being a pastor is all about people. I have to talk to people all the time. And, you know, the Lord was real quiet about that. He didn't say, you know, didn't tell me a bunch of stuff. He just kept calling me. So I had to trust him. Fortunately, I married a wife who is outgoing, and I kind of learned some things from her, but I learned to ask questions, okay? So what kind of questions? Well, if the conversation is just beginning, ask them how they're doing. Don't just, you know, wait for them to ask you. How are they doing? And then the next thing is ask questions about them based on their answers. Now, don't be afraid when I say that, like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do that? No. If they say they've been doing okay, I'm just going to give an example. But maybe they're going through a rough patch, but they don't want to tell you what it is, whatever. I've been going through a rough patch, but, well, then ask a question. Just say, well, is there anything that you'd like to share about that, or can I pray for you about anything, or something like that? And, you know, most people, not always, but most people will talk about their lives a little bit, or themselves and what they're interested in, that kind of thing. And so that's the easy way to get to know somebody, just have good interaction. So listen to what they say, and then maybe ask a question off of what they say. Okay? And if they say no, like, well, you know, I don't really want to share about that, just let it go. Just let it go at that. That's okay. Another thing that we can do that can cause us some trouble is, you know, I'm talking about sharing our faith, but we have to have, there has to be timing in this. And it's sometimes somebody will start to share something with us, and we go right to sharing a story. We go right to, well, this is what happened to me. or we'll go right to, oh, I know so-and-so who went through kind of the same thing, and da-da-da-da-da. So you're not acknowledging what they just said. You're off on your own story. Just acknowledge what people say. So if somebody tells you something, and that's maybe even a little bit personal or something they're going through, acknowledge what they're saying. Just say, oh, wow. You know, that must be tough, or I don't know. It depends what it is. But don't just jump into your own story and suddenly it's all about you or all about somebody you know and you've kind of forgotten about what they said originally. Okay? Ask questions. Be authentic is the third one, as I said earlier. As much as you're able to be authentic, be real. Don't have another agenda that you want to throw in there. And ask the Lord to help you. You know, we're all into different things. And you might, at a certain point, maybe you're really into something that's happening in politics, or maybe you're real into something that's been in the news, or something like that. And I would say, you know, just set that aside. Set that aside. It's not about what your agenda is. We're about sharing with people. We're about getting to know somebody. We want to build relationship with people. You guys okay? You all right? Say yes. All right. Okay. Talking about social interaction, and in the end, we're talking about sharing our faith, sharing what's happening or what has happened in our lives, okay? And again, be ready to share at the right time. Ask the Lord to help you to share just what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. I am often put in this position. As a pastor, lots of hospital visits where people are really going through it. And there's that balance between listening, acknowledging what they're saying, being authentic. There's all of that. But there's also a time where the wisdom from the Lord needs to be coming out of my mouth. And, oh, I can't tell you how many times I just sit and I silently be praying. Say, Lord, help me to say the right thing. Help me to say something that is encouraging to the need of the moment. And so that's what I would say to you too, is ask the Lord while you're talking to somebody. If you're in a situation where you feel like that there's a need and that there's an opportunity there, and you're just asking the Lord, what should I say? You know, sincerely, knowing the word is good. Knowing the word is good, but I'm going to mention something here in just a second about that. The right time, what to share. And some of this is a little bit next level, but ask the Lord. He will help you, especially if you really want to do the right thing and it's about helping someone, okay? Helping someone. Now, as I said, sharing scripture is good, but be careful how you share scripture. Sometimes I know a scripture that goes along with that. So you just shotgun say this scripture. That's not always the best. If you're going to share a scripture with somebody, say it in love. Just say, you know, I remember a scripture about that. And, you know, just... I'm not saying say things just how I'm saying it. I'm saying just because we know a scripture doesn't mean that's the exact time to do it. Ask the Lord to help you. Sharing scripture is good. But don't bombard people with information. But care about people first. Remember authenticity. Now the fifth one is kind of next level social interaction. Okay? But we can do this. And that is, be all things to all people. Be all things to all people. Now, that may not be what it sounds like. I don't mean sacrificing your ethics, sacrificing your morals to be like someone else. That's not what I'm saying. This means try to relate to what the other person's interests are for the purpose of being polite, kind and caring, hopefully gaining a friend. And for some people, they might need to hear about Jesus, okay? Next level social interaction, but it's very biblical. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's three verses. Here we go. Even though I am a free man with no master, this is Paul speaking, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to be to bring the weak to Christ. I try to find, this is what's important, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. All right. Common ground. Paul didn't sacrifice his morals, his beliefs, but he tries to find common ground with people. So I have pastored all different kinds of people, and I know you guys have known all different kinds of people, but part of my job is to talk to people and to relate to people. And a lot of times people are into stuff that I don't know anything about. I mean, I'm going to talk about hunters here in a second. But the first thing I want to say is, when I grew up, nerds were a completely different thing. And I was an athlete and a music guy, so I didn't hang out with nerds, although I had a few friends who were nerds. They were real. They were real. I could talk to them. But now I have all kinds of friends that are nerds. See, now a nerd is completely different. Now nerds make all the money. I have all kinds of friends here that are kind of nerdy, so I have tried to find common ground, and I have over time with all these people. And to their credit, you know, they try to do the same thing, and it's a great thing. So common ground. I do want to talk about hunters for a second, just because my dad hunted, but he, you know, I loved my dad, but he didn't take me hunting and didn't show me anything about hunting. I think I shot a rifle once when he was alive. And I didn't grow up with that, but I love the outdoors. I do have infuriating critters that like to tear up my property, so I wouldn't call that really hunting. I call that taking care of business. Over time, I've learned a lot about hunting. I ask questions like, I can remember talking to somebody and they were telling me their experience of hunting. And I said, well, what do you like about it? What is it about hunting that you really like? And they told me, they love the forest. They love getting away from the busyness of life. Just being among God's creation. I mean, that's a part of it. And I can relate to that. Sometimes they needed meat on their table, and that's very real. And I can relate to that. Sometimes it's showing their kids God's creation and all about hunting, and I can relate to that. My son loves to hunt. Most hunters I know, how many of you are hunters? Raise your hand. You are a proud hunter. Yes, quite a few of you, okay? I love that. Most hunters I know actually have a great respect for the animals that they hunt. They do. And it's great. And I have learned so much about hunting just from knowing so many people in their church that love to hunt. And so I can listen to what they say. I can ask them questions about, if they tell me about going hunting and a little bit of that experience, then I'll kind of jump in and go, well, you know, what was the most difficult part about that hunt, you know? Well, I had him cornered, and, you know, I don't know. They just can go on like that, and I can ask questions. I learn all kinds of stuff. And I'm not doing it to be fake. I'm doing it so I can get to know them, and I can know more about what they're doing. And that's a good thing. Ask people questions. Last week, I shared about my next-door neighbor who shared Christ with me, and he was a youth pastor, and a lot of the stuff I was doing, he couldn't relate to, I'm sure, but boy, he tried. He really did. And when he found out that I had a rock band, and I played around, you know, different places, and then he gave me rock albums that were Christian-based, and so he, you know, was really trying to find common ground. And it worked. I think of that guy so well to this day, and I did back then. I respected him. I knew he didn't live like I did. I knew he didn't really think like I did, but I respected him for his thoughts and what he believed in, and that he took the time to get to know me. I appreciated that. So, remember, I'm not just talking about learning social interacting skills. I'm talking about being able to share your testimony, what God has done in your life, in a very real and authentic way. Now, since I have been talking about this, it's been pretty cool. I have had several opportunities to share my faith with people, good people, that may not necessarily have a relationship with Christ, or maybe not a good one, and it's been pretty cool, and it's really made me think that, you know, I mean, I hope I do that all the time, but I'm with Christians a lot, I'm a pastor, but there are times when I'm not, and it's just a matter of having it on our mind, and looking for those opportunities, And I can tell you, it hasn't been that I shared a whole lot, you know. It's just a piece. It's just a piece of maybe my story. If they want to know more, I'll tell them. But God will show you what to share about the testimony in your life. Now, if I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. And I would like to do one more thing. And you guys were given a 3x5 card. Do you have it, or did you set it down? Okay, if you have it, if you don't have one, I'm going to ask you to get one on your way out. And ushers, this probably hasn't been communicated to you, but if you could have some 3x5 cards in your hand from the stack that we had, that'd be great. And I'm going to give you a little assignment. This is not a hard assignment, and you're going to enjoy doing this, I think. I did it, and I left it on my desk, so I can't show it to you. It is your personal testimony put on a 3x5 card. You might think, well, how can I write my testimony on a 3x5 card? You know what? It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of instruction, okay? And the reason you're going to want to do this is so that you know that you can easily share with somebody in a quick way, your life and what God has done in your life. Okay? So they're going to be on the screen. Key points to include on your 3x5 card. First one is before. Describe your life before finding faith, highlighting struggles or emptiness you experienced. I think I wrote on my card, I was raised Catholic in a large family, and I found myself, as I grew older, being very insecure. I think that's how I started it. Okay? Second part is the turning point. Explain the event, the person, the experience that led you to accept your faith. Okay? So I think I wrote something like, I had a band that came to an end, and friends of mine shared Christ with me. And I turned my life over to God. I said something like that. And then the last one is after. Share how your life has changed once accepting faith. Emphasizing positive aspects like peace, purpose, newfound strength. You can write something down like, I was given hope. I began to find out who I really was. A real problem today with many, many people do not know who they are. So, but that's what happened in your life. And so you can actually write all that and get it all in there on a 3x5 card. And it's a really good thing to do. And many of you are in life groups, and we're asking all the people in the life groups to make sure to do this, and then end up sharing what's on that card at your group. And so even if you're not in a life group, I want to encourage you to do this, and then I want you to share it with somebody. Okay? See, that's not a hard thing. It's an easy thing. Sharing our faith. I believe that this class that Pastor Ben is going to teach, I think it's going to be full, because what's the relationship there? The relationship there is that many of us maybe haven't gone through some basics in our lives, and we're not quite sure how to share. Now, you don't need to know a whole lot, as we know. You just need to know what Jesus has done for you, and you can share that. But as we go through life, our testimony covers so many things, and we just want to share what God really reveals in us to share. So as I go through this teaching, here's what I want. Here's my prayer. That every single one of us have it on our mind. God, show me somebody today that needs you. God, show me how I can make a difference. Now, we'll talk more about action. We'll talk more about action. And action has a lot to do with our witness. But what I'm talking about right now is being able to share your personal testimony. And maybe it's how you came to Christ. Maybe it's something that God did in your life to get you through a rough time. But that's where we're at. I would like you all to stand. Kind of a practical message today. Yeah. Let's do it right now. Sure. Yeah. Okay, let's get those three things back on the screen. That's a great request there, Donna. Okay. Describe your life before finding faith, highlighting struggles or emptiness you experienced. You can take a picture of that with your phone, I suppose, like she mentioned. Okay. And the next one is turning point. Explain the event, person, or experience that led you to accept your faith. This is very important stuff. After, share how your life has changed since accepting faith, emphasizing positive aspects like peace, purpose, or newfound strength. Sharing our faith. Sharing what God has done. It's a powerful thing, and this is how we're going to make a difference. One of the ways we're going to make a difference in our community. Now, there's a whole lot more than that, but it's where to start. It's where to start. Okay, you okay? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing a song.